world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And my title for this morning's message is The Invisible Tsunami. Strange title, I confess, but really this is the kind of force we see working in our second verse. The second verse in this chapter reveals a sober reality of a powerful, destructive force, invisible force at work in society and in the lives of people. And it's only when we are awakened, when our souls, our dead souls are awakened to spiritual life, that we can actually see and trace the work of this invisible force in society. You cannot do it without faith. You cannot do it without the eye of faith. This comes as a gift of God, salvation. It's only then that we can see this powerful current at work in society. And the reason why I called this message the invisible tsunami is because this is how this force really behaves. The destructive consequences of a tsunami which we witness in the natural world gives us some idea of how this force we see in verse 2 works. The satanic force, I may add. Make no mistake, this is a powerful satanic force working in this world system. Look at it, verse 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So let's look at some facts concerning a tsunami, which thankfully they don't happen very often. But let's just look at some facts concerning tsunamis in the natural world, and we'll draw some spiritual equivalents from our second verse. The example I'm going to give, the particular tsunami I have in mind, is apparently the worst tsunami in recent history. So I take your, if you can remember this, I'm sure you, all of us remember this, on the 26th of December 2004 in the Indian Ocean, near an Indonesian island called Sumatra, a huge earthquake erupted across the ocean floor. And the energy released from this earthquake was equivalent to 23,000 Hiroshima bombs. So this was a massive earthquake. And as the earthquake, and it stretched for miles, as this earthquake took place, it displaced billions and billions of tons of water. And that, in turn, created a tsunami was born. And this tsunami was traveling at about 600 miles an hour to nearby and far-off shores. The tsunami, it's important to understand how a tsunami works, concerning the illustration I will give just now, spiritually. Well, a physical tsunami is made up of multiple waves. It's not just one wave. So that you have this mass, huge mass of water consisting of multiple waves. And well, I'll just give you an example. When the first wave hit Sri Lanka, there was minimal damage. There was a bit of damage, but not much loss of life. But when the second wave hit, about 45 minutes later, a lot of people died from the second wave. So you have this massive wall of water just pushing its way. Now, when it does reach, this particular tsunami, when it did reach the shore, and this is normally the case with tsunamis, then it slows down drastically. So by the time the tsunami reached inland, it was traveling at about 40 miles an hour. But you see the water coming to the shore, and then when it's inland, it no longer looks like water. It's just this moving mass of debris. It picks up and destroys everything in its path, trucks, houses, buildings, everything. And like I said earlier, this was the worst tsunami in recent history. The death toll was at least 250,000 people. It was dreadful, absolutely dreadful, awful tsunami. But I say this, and it's no exaggeration, friends. The spiritual force we see in verse 2 is far worse. It's far more deadly. A physical tsunami can take your life. This invisible tsunami condemns us away from the Lord, banishes from us from our Creator for eternity. So it's so important to understand these things. Look at verse 2 again. Here where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Now that word course is important. The Greek literally means the age of this world, the spirit of the age, this world system. But I believe that the King James translators have picked an excellent word. It really does. That word course, you couldn't pick a better word. What that word course suggests is that this force is not static. It's mobile. It's moving. And when we think of a course, we think of a pathway. And this is exactly what is happening. Satan, who is referred to in verse 2 as the prince of the power of the air, is steering the opinions and the trends and the fashions of this world in a particular direction away from God. And this is a powerful satanic current which it's impossible to resist unless God intervenes. But my picture of a tsunami is not perfect, because it only reveals to us the destructive nature of this world system. So my illustration of a tsunami is not ideal. It's not perfect. Because the other aspect that we don't see in my illustration is the incredibly organized satanic intelligence which is moving behind this destructive force. It's the driving force behind the chaos and the spiritual and moral destruction we see in society. And the Apostle Paul mentions this in the sixth chapter of this letter, in verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, in regards to the spiritual and moral damage this system produces, it is like a tsunami in regards to its damage. And here's the sad reality, that if I'm not in Christ, if I don't know the Savior as my Savior, I'm in this tsunami. I'm being pushed along with this powerful current, and I cannot swim against it. It's a shocking picture that the Apostle Paul paints for us here. And he's not, it's not an understatement. The Apostle Paul, it means to shock us, because this is the reality. This world is, although God is sovereign over all things, Satan is the instigator and the mover of all the wickedness we see in this world. Of course, people are sinful and we're moved to rebel against our Creator, but the Satan organizes campaigns with his generals, with his demonic hosts, what trends shall come in next, and things of this nature. And if I don't know Christ as my Savior, I'm carried along on this mass of spiritual and moral destruction. It's a horrific scene. And verse 1 kind of gives us a clue to this. Look at verse 1 in Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, that is made alive. You has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And I said moments ago that we cannot swim against this powerful current. Why is that? Because we're not even conscious of it. I'm dead in my sins. I don't realize I'm on this. I'm just like a piece of debris bobbing up in this mass, this mass of current. I don't even know that I'm. This is the case. So this is a solemn message, I do confess. But this is the Word of God, and the Word of God shows us this, that this is the reality, if I don't know the Savior. Well, you may be asking at this point, well, how is this world system so dangerous, so destructive? I don't see things the way you see them, preacher. Well, of course, it's not my opinion. It's not my thoughts. This is clearly what the Word of God is teaching us, verse 2 particularly. But I don't see this danger. I don't see this destructive force that you're alerting us to. Well, like a tsunami with its multiple waves, there are multiple waves with the spiritual tsunami in society. And I'm just will mention some. For example, the wave of distraction. And this wave is huge today. It's never been this size before, ever, in the history of the world. The wave of distraction. Heaven and hell are a reality. And never before, Satan's work seems to be working overtime. We're distracted wholesale, all the time. This is Satan's strategy, to distract us from the major issues of life, from the greatest issues of life. The fact that one day I will die, one day I will face my Maker, I do have a soul. It's not just flesh and blood I possess. I have a spirit, I have a soul which will live on forever. People don't think about these things nowadays. They don't consider these things. Why? Because they're just distracted all the time. The force and this wave is so powerful that I cannot swim against it. The distractions are so numerous and often so stimulating that conscience never gets a word in. And you just only have to walk down any high street, or you just have to walk outside your door and you see it, especially with youngsters. They've always got the earphones on. They're always on their social media. They're always doing something so that my thought life becomes fragmented. And this wreaks havoc with my attention span, so that I cannot actually, well, it damages conscience. You will rarely feel troubled about your sin because you're always plugged into the system. This is satanic genius. Well, it's the truth, but it's a powerful spell. And people are, well, they're on this moving mass, this course, and they cannot do anything about it unless they seek the Savior for themselves. So that's one of the waves. But then there's even a bigger wave, the wave of peer pressure. The wave of peer pressure. You've got to conform to the status quo. You've got to follow the crowd. And you cannot swim against this either. If I don't follow the current culture and the trend and things which are paraded as fun, I'll be an outcast. I'll be laughed at. I'll be isolated, and often I'll even be persecuted at work or a college. So there is great pressure, and the pressure is so great that we cannot resist it without the grace of God. It's like someone I saw when I was investigating facts about tsunamis in the natural world. I saw this amateur footage of this one man standing on the shore, and this, by the time it reached him, it was huge. And he wasn't running. It was so strange. Why? And it dawned on me. He actually knew that there was nothing he couldn't run. It was moving so fast. And I really felt for that individual. And it was amateur footage. You couldn't really see his features, but he knew that he was going to die. And he was just standing there waiting for the wave to hit him. It was really sad. This is the case. That it's even worse for those who have never really sought the Savior for themselves, who have never looked beyond the horizon of this world to the eternal realm, where we have a Creator, and this world is in trouble, but He is full of grace and mercy, ready to save, ready to forgive. And if I don't do this, well, I'm not even conscious that I'm on this tsunami. I'm not even conscious that, well, I'm heading in a dangerous direction. And then I bring to your attention probably the most dangerous of these waves, and that is the wave of spiritual and moral chaos. When the Bible was swept away from society in the sexual and drug revolution in the 60s, well, there was a lot of attack of the Bible before that as well. Well, it created a spiritual vacuum in people's lives and in society. And now people just make up the rules as they go along. This is a brave new world, and we can do whatever we want. But now the consequences are really, we can see what's happening. People do not even know what to believe anymore. And the results are devastating. Escalating crime, financial meltdown, moral filth coming in. There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason for existence anymore. And people, so many people today get depressed because of these things in their own lives. And when they look at the landscape and the climate of the earth, not talking about the climate weather, but just what's happening. How do people cope? How do people cope with these many perplexities and troubles in the world and in their own lives? Well, this brings me to the next wave, the wave of futility, the powerful wave of futility on the spiritual tsunami. I'm being carried on the spiritual tsunami at great speed. Society is changing so quickly. Where is all this heading? And sometimes people who are not Christians, they will say some things sometimes which are quite profound, because they don't understand the things that they witness around them. Why is this happening? We can't understand how evil people can be. But if you don't understand the Bible, if you don't understand the depravity of man, things won't make sense. They won't make any sense. But from a Christian point of view, it all makes sense. We know what's happening. But the wave of futility, all these things are happening. And I don't know where life is heading. I don't know what the world will be like in the next 20 years. I don't know these things, but I'll just hold on to this piece of debris to keep myself afloat on this spiritual tsunami. What am I referring to? All these troubles in life and all these worrying things, not only in the world but in my own life. What will happen when I'm older? Will my children look after me? Will this happen? Will that happen? What about my health? I'm not going to think about these things. I'll just watch some movie. I'll just pop a pill. I'll just do something to keep me preoccupied. These things that we consider important now in our lives, maybe the way I look, the way I appear, my reputation, my career, my car, my house, whatever it is, these things are, compared to eternity, compared to Christ, they're just pieces of debris. That's what they are in the context of everlasting life, of seeking the Lord and having his eternal favor. These are just pieces of debris, and I'm holding on to them just to keep afloat. Oh, friends, you see how worthless life is without Christ. These things cannot help you in the long run. They might cheer you up. They might keep you distracted from the many worrying things that you don't want to think about. But they're not really going to help you. But God can. Your Creator can. He can do far more than you can even conceivably think. But people are caught up with possessions and entertainment to keep them afloat in the spiritual tsunami. But these things are only taking us away from God. They're drifting away from God, and I'm holding on to them. Oh, friends, may God by his Spirit give us light and understanding of these serious issues. I can have all the riches, I can have all the fame, I can have all the power and attention I want, but I'll be miserable without my Creator. Despite all the creature comforts, life is futile and meaningless without the living God, without the Lord Jesus Christ. And this wave of futility in the spiritual tsunami is the cause of many, many suicides. Suicide rates are soaring. Many people are depressed. This is the scene we see in verse 2. And I just want to bring to your attention, this is something that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah concerning the spiritual tsunami 2,700 years ago. Listen to this. This is Isaiah the prophet giving us a picture of what it's like to be outside of Christ. These are frightful words, friends. I don't want to be harsh. I don't want to be unkind. It's the kindest thing to warn souls. And sometimes gospel preachers are sneered at. Oh, he's so harsh. He talks about sin. He talks about the fact that we are rebels against our Creator. Friends, I'm only trying to help you. I want you to be saved. I want you to be forgiven. I want you to be on that pathway to heaven. I want you to know the Savior as your friend, as your eternal friend. That's my desire. That's my motive. But Isaiah 57, verses 20 through to 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Exactly the same as what we're seeing in verse 2. Without the Savior, friend, there is no hope for you. But there is hope if you look to him, your Creator, and the one who came to this world to bridge that great distance between myself and God. But without him, on the spiritual tsunami, no hope, no pardon, no hope beyond the grave, no contentment, no real purpose in life, no genuine joy. You have pleasures, and you might have some joys, quite often, but they're fleeting. The pleasures I experience, oh, there's a clothes store, have a sale, 50% off. And I'm quite excited, I'm quite buoyant. And next week I'm down in the dumps again. The pleasures and the things that this world offers, it cannot bring us lasting joy. It's only skin deep. Miserable comforts at death, all this debris around us. And all these things are taking me away to judgment. Friend, it doesn't have to be this way. Wake up. Wake up. May God, by His Spirit, help you to see what this world is really... Oh, don't get me wrong, there are many wonderful and good things that God has given us in this world to appreciate and enjoy. Please don't get the wrong impression. But this world system and the things that people are excited about and the things that people are... And what is paraded as wonderful and the fashions and the trends and the entertainment for the most part, these things are under the direct control of Satan. And these things are incredibly damaging. Incredibly damaging, as I've tried to point out. See the predicament you're in, friend. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no hope. And this leads me to my concluding point. Look at verses 4 and 5. In our second chapter. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. But God, you see there, but God intervenes in the picture, in the scene. It's not me. I don't one day decide, I think I'm going to become a Christian. This is a great turning. No, we don't think like that, but God intervenes. He stops me in my wild career, and He helps me to see the true meaning of life and what I really need. But God intervenes. He has a rescue plan for me. He has quickened. He has made me alive. How does He do this? How does He bring spiritual life into me? Well, He begins to awaken my conscience. I start to feel unclean. I start to feel guilty about the things I'm doing and about the things I've done to other people. All these things start to come to the surface. I see my real needs. I need to be forgiven. I need to be cleansed and washed. I need to know that my Creator will receive me when I die. I realize that this world is not the wonderful world that I thought it was. And I start to sense my spiritual danger, my moral danger. And when I hear about Christ, when I hear about what He did on Calvary's cross, when I hear about His mission, well, it dawns on me. This is the piece of the puzzle that's been missing in my life. I've been looking for it everywhere in different things. But when I hear about Christ, when I hear about His amazing love, when I hear about the commission of the Father sending Him into the world, I say to myself, this is what I need. This has been the missing puzzle in my life. And if that's my attitude, that's an evidence that God has initiated a work of grace in my heart. We cannot save ourselves. Verse 8 makes that very clear in our chapter. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I cannot save myself from my own sin and my tendency to run away from God. I can't stop this. And I can't resist this powerful tsunami around me either. But God can wake me up. He can convict me of my sin. And if this is the case with any of you this morning, if you sense your need of the Savior, oh, don't delay, don't procrastinate. Call upon Him. Ask Him to forgive you. He promises not to reject those who sincerely call upon Him. Well, according to the advice concerning natural tsunamis, thankfully they don't take place very often, but when they do take place, the advice is, if you're living in one of these hotspots, these danger zones, and there's a tsunami, the advice is that you, as fast as possible, get to higher ground. Run to the hills. Move as high as you can. It's logical, really. But it's the same spiritually. This is what God does for sinners. He rescues us from this powerful satanic tsunami by receiving, which is heading to judgment, by what? By taking the judgment Himself. The judge of all the earth was willing to be judged Himself. It's amazing. And this is the wonderful news of the gospel. I don't have to be blinded by these things in this world. I don't have to be on this dangerous tsunami. I can be rescued from it. And this is what Christ has done. God the Father sending his own dear Son into this world. And on that cross, the Lord Jesus, or even before that cross in Gethsemane, he knew that what he was going to go through. He knew that he would suffer the eternal torments of hell, of every single one of his people, compressed and miraculously into the space of 6 hours. He knew it would happen. And he almost died in Gethsemane, but his divinity upheld him. Nevertheless, he felt every pain. The pain and the agony that Christ suffered on the cross, it wasn't anesthetized. He felt the pain that we should have felt, and yet his divinity sustained him, but it didn't take away the pain. And that's amazing, friends, that Christ, that my God, should be willing to suffer the terrors of hell. He didn't descend into hell, but he suffered my hell on that cross. What a Savior. And salvation is offered even until this day, until the Lord returns. Oh, friends, seek the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. If you don't know the Savior, if you have not yet called upon him, call upon him. Because this is a day of trouble. If you don't know him, call upon him. See your need. And when God changes us, by not only does he give us everlasting life, not only does he give us a place in heaven, but he transforms us, he changes us. He changes me entirely. It's a miracle of grace. And then we're moved up to higher ground, as it were. We're given a new nature. We're now incorporated into his family, into God's family. We're given a new destination. We're rescued from the chaos of this, the course of this world. We're a safe distance from it. We're not taken out of the world entirely, but we're in the wilderness. And Christ is feeding us and blessing us and preparing us for glory. It's so important to understand this. Well, when death does finally come, and it will come upon all of us, for those who are in Christ, death is feared by everyone, whether they like to admit it or not. But Christians, that fear of death is to a great extent taken away, because we realize and we know for sure, for God has promised that as soon as I die, as the light of this world goes out, the light of the next will come on. And the death for the Christian is the gateway to paradise. Oh, friends, may that be your testimony also this morning. Seek the Savior for yourselves. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Amen.